Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Again, I say Happy New Year to each one of you here. My sermon today is taken from Psalm 65, the crown of his goodness, from Psalm 65. 2019. Someone said to me, oh, it's not 2019, it's 2019. Someone said to me, no, Pastor, it's not 2019, it's 2019. No matter what you want to call it, I want you to know, and I want you to start this year 2019 with a promise from the Scripture. I know there are many promises from the Scripture, but this promise I want you to hold for this year is the promise of the crown of his anointing. The promise of the crown of his anointing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your people. We thank you for bringing us through. We thank you for watching us. We thank you, O God, for being so good to us. And Father, I pray that even as we come today to rejoice and to praise you, Lord, may your words begin to strengthen us. May your words encourage us and empower us to believe you for more and more in our life so that we can live for you, for your purpose. Bless your servant as he share your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know some of you just could not wait for 2018 to close its door. It has been a challenging and a tough year. There was health issue, job issue, family issue, personal issue, money issue, one issue after another issue. Have you been through such a time? As if issue never ends. It keep on coming, knocking at your door, pounding at your door in 2018. So you look towards 2019, hoping and praying for a new day, a new beginning, a new season, a boost. Sometimes we just need to have some boost. I'm not talking about the drink that is in the shopping center. Sometimes we just need to have some boost of faith, of hope, of love, you know. Because we want to believe in something better and something good for this year. I know what is it like when you go through a year that is very tough. It does take a toll on you. But I want you to be encouraged this morning as you start the new year, that you will possess the promise of God given to you in Psalm 65, where the promise of the crown of God's goodness is on you. So let's turn to Psalm 65, our New Year's sermon. In fact, I was looking through all the sermon that I preached. I never preached from Psalm 65 before, but it's a good start. Psalm 65 is a praise psalm. It's a national psalm of praise. And it's praising God for his goodness. It's very refreshing, very positive, very wholesome. If you look at Psalm 65, no enemy is cursed. No complaints are made. No struggle are mentioned. No issue are brought up. And all it does is just, God, I'm praising you. I'm thanking you. I'm saying to you, God, that your goodness is upon me. Your blessing upon me. So it is such a good psalm because it's a psalm that is very positive as we start the year. In fact, this psalm, 65, is to be sang after the rain comes upon the land of Israel. Usually it's springtime. When the rain comes and water and refresh the earth. And if the rain has come and they have a good harvest, then the Psalm 65 becomes a very special psalm because there is so much to rejoice. But if it's a tough year, sometimes it can be tough. Then, when they come to this psalm, it's the promise of the crown of his anointing. So, when we look at Psalm 65, How are we going to look at it? I wrestle with this chapter. I know sometimes when we look at the Bible chapter, we look from the top to the end. But today we're going to look from this psalm from bottom up. I don't know about you. There are times when I read a book, especially a story book, I like to start from behind. How many of you do that? To know what is the conclusion. And then I look at the middle part, what is happening. Then I start from the front. So, Psalm 65, we're going to start from below up. So how do we start? Well, we start with the promise. The promise that is in verse 11 and verse 13. The promise. Turn to Psalm 65, verse 11 to verse 13. The promise. It's a good way to start. Verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your path deep with abundance. They drop on the passage of the wilderness, and the little hill rejoice on every side. The passages are clothed with flocks. The valley also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. God promised from this verse, He promised you the crown of His goodness. The crown of His goodness in the beginning of the year. Not at the end of the year. The promise of God is that the crown of His goodness come to you on the 1st of January. So we are on the 6th. Are you aware that the crown of His goodness has been upon you the last 5 days? If you are not aware of that, you miss the blessing that God has for you. So the Bible tells us that the crown of His goodness is upon you, not just in the beginning of the year, not in the middle of the year, but is from the beginning of the year, on the 1st of January, till the end of the year, 31st of December. That the crown of God's goodness is upon you 365 days. I know that there are certain year that is 366 days. God's goodness is upon you throughout the day, 24/7. The crown of His goodness. Have you ever watched the crowning of the monarchy? In 1953, Queen Elizabeth II was crowned. And as you know, all these big events is held at Westminster Abbey. And when she was crowned the queen, it was very grand, and dignity from all over the world came to witness her coronation. In fact, it was live telecast. It took 14 months of preparation, 2 full rehearsals before the actual day. And the money they spent in 1953, if you were to calculate in today's value, it would have cost $600 million. For just a few hours of glory. The Bible tells us that God crowned you with His goodness. It cost Queen Elizabeth $600 million. What does it cost God to crown us with His goodness? Say with me this word, not cheap. I know you all guys want a bargain, but it's not cheap. What does it cost? It cost the dear life of His Son. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, since He did not spare even His own Son, that God did not spare His own Son, but give Him up for us all, so that we can be crowded with His goodness. Jesus Christ took the crown of thorns, the crown of shame, the crown of suffering, the crown of rejection. Jesus Christ took all of that in order that the crown of His goodness, the crown of His goodness can come upon your life. It is a big price. He paid the full price with His life to break the curse of sin so that you can be crowned with His goodness. Where do you wear the crown? You wear the crown on your head. It circles around the head with authority, power, and privileges. When you wear the crown, it changes the name and the title of the person. What does it mean? When you wear the crown, it means the end of the old status, but the beginning of the new one. When God crowns you, He declares. The Bible says that He crowns you with His goodness. When God crowns you, He declares the old has passed. The new is here. It is a new day, a new beginning, a new start, a new season for you with God's authority, power, and privilege. This is the heritage of a child of God. You are crowned with His goodness. The word crown means to surround. When God crowns you with His goodness, it means that God surrounds you with His goodness. What is goodness? Goodness in Hebrew means bounty, prosperity, good things, benefit. So when God crowns you with His goodness, He crowns you for every situation, every circumstances, and every challenge for 2019. What does it mean? When the Bible says God crowns you with His goodness, God surrounds you with His goodness, it means His goodness shall follow you all the days of your life. Psalm 23 verse 6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You don't have to chase after His goodness. Say amen. You don't have to work for His goodness. The Bible tells His goodness follow. His goodness follow you. Now, the word follow here is different from what we understand. When we use the word follow, we think someone follow behind. And sometimes, you know, when people follow you behind, it's so far behind that you cannot see them. When the Bible uses the word follow, in Hebrew it means that someone is pursuing you, chasing after you, to catch up with you. That's what it means, follow. So the Bible tells us that God's goodness follow us. God's goodness is chasing and chasing to catch up with us so that His goodness, His bounty, His benefit, His good things, His prosperity, His success, and all that He done for you can come into your life. That's what it means. You see, it's not like the traffic policeman chasing after you behind. Have you ever been chased by a policeman? You speed, and then he is behind you, and he's making all kind of noise, stopping you and give you a ticket. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God, whose alarm, His His goodness, His goodness, His goodness, His goodness, is chasing after you in order that He, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2, said this, the blessing of God will overtake you. That God's goodness purpose is to catch up with you so that you can experience everything that He has for you. Say amen to that. But many times, we are too busy. We are too busy. We are too caught up with our problem, with our needs, that we forget that the goodness of God is there for who? For you. That's what it means. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you, will catch up with you. Yes, you're going to have life interruption. You're going to have life difficulty. You're going to have life challenges. But the promise of God is God's goodness will catch up with you. Now, what it means that His goodness surrounds you. Not only His goodness follow you, His goodness meets you. In Psalm 21 verse 3, for you meet Him with the blessing of goodness, success and prosperity and gift. You set a crown of pure gold upon His head. The Bible tells very clear that God meets you. I don't know about you. God did not meet you with a list of your fault. God did not meet you with a list of complaint. God did not meet you with a list of your failures. Many of some of us are afraid to come to God because, oh, what will He say about me? But the Bible tells us that God's goodness, that God meets you, and when He meets you, He says to Himself, what can I do for you? He meets you. He meets you with His goodness. What does it mean? His goodness surround me. It means His goodness pass before you. In Exodus 33, verse 19, God said to Moses, I will make my goodness pass right in front of you. This is what God said to Moses. When Moses said, God, unless you come with me, unless I see you. And God said, my goodness will pass just in front of you, that you will see and you will know it is me. So when God's goodness passes in front of you, what does it mean? It means don't let God's goodness just pass by. Say amen to that. It means that the goodness of God that passes in front of you, you have the right as a child of God to possess it, to grab hold of it, to take hold of it, because it is yours. Goodness pass in front of me. When God surrounds me with His goodness, this is what Jeremiah 32 verse 14. He will never stop doing good to you. He will never stop doing good to you. How you like that? God will never stop. Sometimes we can stop doing good to others, but God will never stop doing good to us. He may discipline us. He may deal with us, but He will never stop His goodness over you. So I want you to look to verse 2019. The crown of His goodness, the crown of His goodness follow you, meet you, pass right in front of you, and His goodness never stops. He's here to stay, here to grow day by day. This is the promise of God to who? To you. When I look at the NIV translation in verse 11, this is what it says in our translation. He crowned you with a bountiful harvest. He crowned you with a bountiful harvest. This is what God says. I'm crowning you with a bountiful harvest. This is the picture of how it means. It means that after harvest time, all the harvest is put onto the cart. And as the cart is moving, because the harvest is so bountiful, the harvest fall on where? Fall onto the ground. Fall onto the ground. This is what God is saying to you. This is what I'm going to do with your life for this year. That I'm going to bring a bountiful harvest to you. You may say, the market is bad, the economy is bad, the report in the world is so gloomy. I don't know what is Donald Trump doing. You know, he's changing the world with all his decisions. You know, you may say that I don't have a permanent job. I'm on contract. You know, I don't know about my job situation. I'm afraid for the future, for myself and my family. I'm going to keep some money for rainy day. Have you ever said to yourself that, keep some money for rainy day? If you tell yourself that, rainy day will come. Invest your money, not keep your money. This is what God said, that when I bring bountiful harvest to you, no matter what happened in the world, you are in my economy. Genesis 26, the Bible tells us that there was famine on the land. Isaac said, "Wow, time is tough. There is famine. Life is not easy." So he decided, you know what? I'm going to pack my bag. And I'm going to leave where I am. I'm going to go to Egypt. After all, my father did that also. But God said to him, Isaac, don't pack your bag. Don't leave where you are. Even though there is famine in the land, I want you to stay where you are. I want you to sow in the land, for I will bless you. I will bring the harvest. So Isaac simply believed God. And this is what verse 12 and verse 13 of Genesis 26 say. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and he began to prosper and continually prosper. God's bountiful providence are never affected by world events or by good time or bad time. You need to believe and expect your portion every month. This day, today, God give me my daily portion. Say amen. Amen. Tomorrow, God will give me my daily portion. Next week, God will give me my portion. The Bible tells us very clearly that God has dropped the line and God has said, this portion belongs to me. I need to believe for my portion. My portion may not be bigger than the other person's portion, but I know that my portion is sufficient for me. I know that when God give me my portion, I will be filled, I will be glad, I will be rejoiced, because I know that whatever God gives to me is out of the generosity and the riches of His goodness. He promised to meet all your need. You like the psalm? His anointing, His goodness is upon you throughout the year. How many of you like this psalm? Put up your hand. Come on, if you like this psalm, put up your hand. So, what is the key? The key is found in verse 11. Your path deep with abundance. The key is whose path? Not my path. Not the path that seems right in my eyes, or the path that seems right in man's eyes. The Bible tells us it's in God's path. God's path is the path of blessing, is the path of righteousness, is the path of what? Life. So the Bible tells us, in order for us to experience the crown of His goodness, whose path do we walk? We walk in His path, not in your path. You see, when you walk in your path, which is wrong path, and you say, God bless me, you are asking God to agree with what you did, which is wrong. But when you walk in His path, which is God's path, which is His way, then the Bible tells us, His path is deep with what? His path is deep with abundance. Because God's path is the right path, is the narrow path, is the path of life and the path of abundance. So the Bible tells us, your path deeps with abundance. Now, the word path means track. Means track. If you have been to hiking, it's a good thing. Hiking is good. What do? You always follow the what? The track. The track that has been walked by others. Leaving footmarks, leaving how you should walk. So the Bible tells us that your path means God, the track that has been laid. So what is the track that has been laid? Well, there are so many people in the Bible had lived their life according to God's standard. Their life, how they live, are the track that God has laid so that we study their life, the life of Jesus Christ, the life of man and woman of faith, the life of those that have obeyed Him, that has followed Him. So the Bible tells us, in order for us to experience the path of His abundance, find the track from the Bible. Not what Google say. I tell you today, you go to some house, they have this small thing. Google. Google, play this music. Google, do this. Google, do that. I think you need Google, you don't need a wife. Not what Google says, it's what the Bible says. Because the Bible tells us that these people go before us. They have left an example for who? For us to follow. So the Bible tells us, follow the track. Follow the track that is left for you in the Bible. For when you follow those tracks, you will find your abundance. Now, another translation says, the New Living Translation, you crown the year with bountiful harvest. even the hard pathway overflow with abundance. Many of us think that God, if everything is favorable, then it is possible. But the Bible tells us that when God crowns you with His goodness, even what path? Even the hard path. The hard pathway. You see, many of us, if we see the easy path and the hard path, which one will we choose? We choose the easy path. But sometimes, the way of God's blessing is not through the easy path. It's through the what? The hard path. So the Bible tells, because God is with you, and when you obey Him, even if the pathway is hard, He said, my goodness will be with you. My goodness will follow you. My goodness will meet you. My goodness will surround you. My goodness will go before you. I encourage you, always ask God, which way, Lord? Even if it's hard. Even if it means that I have to make some sacrifice now in order to enjoy the good later on. Some people don't want. They just want enjoyment all the time. No. Sometime in life, you have to make some sacrifice now for what? For future benefit. So the Bible tells, even if the path is hard, God promised us that His goodness will surround you. Because as God is concerned, even in hard places, His abundance will be overflowing. The promised land has its challenge. It must be conquered, River Jordan must be crossed, the wall of Jericho must be brought down, enemy must be fought, and battle must be won. But if you look at the history of Israel, God's goodness was with them. God did them good. When God takes you onto stony path, He won't give you a barefoot. You won't have to walk barefoot. If you are walking on bad, stony path, God will give you what kind of shoe? Strong shoe to walk. Say amen to that. So, His goodness. This is what I want you to know. In 2019, God never promised you a trouble-free life. A life of rose without thorns. A life that is up, up, and up. We know interruption. We know hiccup. We know challenges. An easy, carefree life. Unless you are on retirement. Other than that, you will face some hard path. But His goodness surrounds you. And He say, in the half pathway, it will be dipping and overflowing with abundance. This is His promise to you. I like verse 12 and verse 13. The desert is covered with grass and the hills with happiness. The pastures are full of flocks and the valleys are covered with grain. Everything shout and sing for joy. What does it mean? It means that when the goodness of God comes upon you, it's not for personal consumption. It's not for personal benefit. When the goodness of God comes upon you, it takes effect inside here. And when it takes effect inside here, just like His goodness come upon the land, it begins to affect the surrounding places. God's goodness is upon you in order that you may impact and influence others with the goodness of God. God's goodness in this verse is so powerful that it transforms desert and wasteland. Valleys are filled. It brings fullness to the field and joy and happiness break forth. This is the goodness of God. The goodness of God comes upon you. God shows you goodness in order that you who has His goodness may also be able to do good to who? To others. Like Jesus did. Acts chapter 10 verse 28. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing what? Good. He has come. His goodness surround me. I have experienced his goodness. Now, I don't want to stay and lock myself in his goodness. Now I want to express and show forth his goodness to others. Can I ask you, as we start this year, when you deal with others, ask this, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It's a good way. You want to live a life that is blessed and transformed, ask yourself, what will Jesus do? Would Jesus lie? Would Jesus cheat? Would Jesus break the law of the land? He wouldn't. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Jesus, who saved and transformed you with his life, now calls you to be like him. Like him in words and in action. Now live with what? Live with his goodness. Say amen. Amen. Be like him and do it. Don't live with OMG. Oh my goodness. Or goodness me. Don't live with that. Live what? Positively with his goodness. So this is the promise that God has given to you. Amen. You like the promise? How many of you like the promise? Put up your hand. Well, this is only the first part. So, it's good to have a big promise. But important is, who's the one who promised you? Some people promise you they cannot fulfill. So now we come to the second part. The promiser. The promiser. Let's look at verse 5 to verse 10. Verse 5. By awesome deed in righteousness, you will answer us. O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the end of the earth, and as of far off sea, who established the mountain by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the sea, the noise of their will, and the tremor of the people. They also who dwell in the furthest part are afraid of your sign. You make the outgoing of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The rivers of God is full of water, and you provide their grain. For so you have prepared it. The water is rich abundantly. You settle its furrow. You make it soft with shower. You bless its growth. The promises. The promiser. The promiser who say, I crown you with my goodness. From verse 5 to verse 10. He is not a nobody. He's not an absent God. He's not like the God of this world or the God of this age. He's the creator of all things. And the Bible tells in this verse, he has awesome power over all things. And in fact, the Bible tells that he is so awesome that his deeds are awesome. How is he awesome? His awesome is seen in him answering your prayer. His awesomeness is seen in creation. The mountain speaks of God's might. Mountains are unmovable. So is the promiser. God is unmovable. What he promised you, he will keep. He's the law of man that he should lie. There is no shadow of turning with God. He's the one who says every good and every perfect gift comes from the fathers of light. He said, I'm the mountain. If the mountain is strong, I'm stronger than the mountain. And he said, my power is seen in how I handle the nation. The Bible verse here talk about the noise of the seas and the wave in the Old Testament. They are a picture of nations that oppose God and His people. And yet the Bible says that they are silent by the absolute and awesome power of God. I like what the Message Bible put it this way about the promiser in the Message Bible. He said that He is the earth tamer, ocean porter, mountain maker, hill dresser. This is our God. The psalmist wants you to know that the Creator God, with His awesome power and awesome absolute power, is the one that crowns you with His goodness. Nothing stops Him to perform His promise to you. Wonder, the scripture say, He is the hope of everyone on earth. This is the promiser. He is so powerful. Nothing stops Him. In fact, the Bible tells us that not only He is so powerful that He sustains earth and reaches it and rain waters of abundance from heaven down to the earth. We are not farmers. We don't understand the importance and blessing of rain. Without rain, all the human work is in vain and wasted. Too much rain, all the work is destroyed. So God sent two rain to the Israelite as a promise of His covenant of blessing. The first rain is called the early rain. And here the Lord sent the rain so that the soil is ready. Ready. And then the seed can be planted. The second rain is called the later rain. Here God sent the rain so that the seed that is on the ground with the rain will begin to germinate and begin to take life and begin to shoot forth. The rain came. It worked the ground and it worked the seed. What is above and what is beneath, so that the great harvest can come and the people rejoice. This year, rejoice that God has abundantly blessed you because of Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, He bore all your sin and punishment so the crown of His abundant goodness can be yours. Say amen to that. The promise, I crown you with My goodness. The promiser, He is awesome, He is powerful, nothing is impossible with Him. How you like that? Come on, how you like that? Now, here you come to the third part. The third part is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. For all the promises, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in who? All the promises in the Bible has been fulfilled by who? Fulfilled by Jesus Christ. You don't fulfill the promise. You are a recipient of the promise. Who fulfilled the promise? Jesus Christ fulfilled the promise. How did Jesus Christ fulfill the promise? By His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If Christ is not raised from the dead, all the promises of no value. So Jesus Christ has fulfilled the promise with a resounding what? Yes. So the promises of God is what? Yes or no? Yes. The promises of God is yes. Now, and through Christ, our what? Our amen. So God promised, and God promises yes. What is our response? Our response is what? Amen. That's our response. So if our response is amen, it means yes. That God promised us this promise. I will crown you with My goodness. What is our response? Amen. Say amen. Amen. That means yes to God. You see, if you don't say amen, it means you don't agree with Him. So you say amen. Easy? You see, but the amen It's just the confession of our mouth because we believe in our heart. But the amen must have action. Action of words and action of our life that enforce the amen. Sometimes the promises of God is not fulfilled in your life because you say amen, but your mouth cancel the promise. Your action cancel the promise. It's just like a girl. God, I need a husband. Find me a husband, God. I ask you, Lord. God, this is the 10 points for my husband. He must be this, that. Then after that, amen. I don't think you can do it, God. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? Sometimes we cancel our own prayer. We cancel the promises God has made. But the Bible tells us that God has promised you, I will crown you with my goodness, and He is able to do it. Our response is, amen! But our amen must match with action. And here, we'll come from to verse 1 to verse 4. The four action, the six action that were amen. The first one, praise is waiting for you, O God. The first action is what? Praise. Here's a picture of the people standing waiting silently to shower God, you know, with praises for His goodness. They saw God coming. They knew Him coming towards them. And they are ready to spend the year praising God for everything that comes their way. When they say, God, praise is waiting for you, it means this. God, from the first day of 2019, I am praising you for everything that is coming. I am praising you even before the end of 31st of what? December. Praise is waiting for you. I tell you, folks, I don't know about you. I find it's easy to grumble. I find it's easy to complain. How many of you find that? No. Put up your hand if you have the same problem as me. We all have this. But the Bible says that you can never go wrong with praising God. Say amen. You can never go wrong with praising God. There's such tremendous power in praising God. So the psalmist said that, God, in order for your goodness to come, praise is waiting for you, God. From the beginning, whatever comes my way, I'm going to praise you because there is power in praising you. And I know, God, when I praise you, there's going to be breakthrough. So, throughout the year, praise God. Things don't work, praise God. Amen? Things work, praise God. Why cook steak that is burnt? Praise God. Eat it. Whatever do, just praise God. Because you can never go wrong in praising God. Have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving throughout the year. Secondly, perform. And to you the vow shall be performed. As they look to the future, they remember the vow that they make. And people make vow to God at difficult time. I remember I make vow to God. Things are not happening, God. Help me, God, and I promise you this. You know, and sometimes people make vow, not openly, but in silent, they make vow to God. You know, in our moments of need. As they approach the new season, this God encouraged them to renew their commitment to keep their promise to God and to keep up to their vow. Remember 2019. Remember, God did not force you to make vow to Him. You make it freely and willingly. Now keep and fulfill your vow to Him. The next P, verse 2. O you who hears prayer, As you look towards the new season and the unknown, do it with prayer. Cover it with prayer. Because as far as God is on the throne, prayer can change anything. When you believe God, that He hears prayer. As you look towards this new year, with courage and hope, understand that prayer can change anything when God sits on the throne. So the Israelites say, God, to you, Lord, I bring my prayer. You hear my prayer. Can I ask you in 2019, have a prayerful spirit. Develop your prayer life. Pray always. Come on Wednesday for corporate prayer with us. The next thing he said, God, my action of prevail. Iniquity prevail against me. No matter how positive they are, they know that new season bring new opportunity, bring new challenge, and bring new temptation. But when temptation come, they don't have to give in. They can withstand it. In 2019, temptation comes and go. Be strong and prevail against it. And one way to prevail against temptation is learn to say what? N-O. N-O. Two words. N-O. What is that? No. When temptation comes, the lesson is to prevail against temptation, learn to say no. If you don't say no, then you will get caught in the circle. The first thought, pop. If it's not glorifying, it's not uplifting, say what? No. Drop it. But if you don't say no, you think, very soon you will fall into sin. And the other thing you need to learn to prevail is learn to what? Flee. Learn to run. Run. And sometimes you need to run where? Run far! So that you don't get caught. Then the next P is in verse 3. As for our transgression, you push them away. See, these people are quite understanding people. They know that shortcoming, you know, and fault will happen to them. They know that even if they try to live a right life, in their weakness, they may fear, you know. But they are confident of this thing, that God will purge, God will cleanse them. Not that they intentionally sin, but as part of life's journey. As part of life's journey. If you fall, then John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, tells us, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. God, you are there for me. But don't say, hey, God is there for me. He, so good. Never mind, go and sin first. Then after that, confess. Then go and sin some more. Then confess. Then go and sin some more, confess. You need a hit on the head. No, it means that if you are intentionally living a life and you get trapped and you fall, then the Bible says God has His grace for you. Not for you to abuse, say amen. Not for you to abuse, but for you to live and to hold on. So that the Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So, lastly, present. Blessed is the man who chooses and calls to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. He shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. This Psalm 65 is used during the Feast of Tabernacle. It is in this feast that every meal Israelite have to come to Jerusalem They had to come to Jerusalem, to the temple of God, and to present themselves to God. Why? Because they are blessed to be chosen. Because they are blessed to be able to come to His holy temple and be satisfied with His goodness at His house. Can I encourage you this year? Take every opportunity to be present at God's house. His house of blessing, His house of goodness. Survey in the Western Church indicate that believers are coming less and less on Sunday to worship at His house. This is the spirit of the age, the spirit of self-love. But we need to go against this self first, but rather God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you ready to receive the crown of His goodness today? The Bible tells us that Christ, our Father, specially chosen you to crown you with His goodness. And when God crowns you with His goodness, it does not matter what's going around you. It does not matter what happens in the economy, in the job market. God's crown of goodness cannot be removed. He makes you the head and not the tail. He makes you on birth and not beneath. Psalm 65. Wonderful psalm. I crown you with my goodness. This is God's promise to you in the beginning of the year. And I believe this is a very important message. Like I said, I went through the whole sermon that I have preached since Grace City Church time. I have never preached on Psalm 65 before. But I just felt the need this Sunday to speak on this Psalm 65, especially when we see so much uncertainty in the marketplace, in the world. It can bring fear into our heart. And that's not what God wants. We live by faith, not by fear. We live by promise, not by understanding. And I believe the crown of His anointing, the crown of His goodness is for you this year. And the one who makes that promise is Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. He makes all things. But as you have said amen to His promise, now make sure your action, the action of your words, the action of your doing, do not cancel the promise. Agree with the promise. And how do you do it? Praise. Perform your vow. Pray to Him. Prevail against temptation. God, purge me of my sin and present your body as a living sacrifice. Why don't we stand up? As we come to this part that I want you today, I want you to declare it. So that you can hear what you declare. Because this declaration is your declaration to God. And the Bible tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. You have heard the word of God, that the crown of His goodness is upon you. Now faith is in you because of His word. But the word of God that produce faith needs to, what? The next step. If you believe in your heart and what? And confess. So I want you, lift your hand to Him. Open two hands to Him. And I want you to say, as you say it together. Together. Father, you crown my year with your goodness, so that 2019 is never the same as the previous year. I declare I'm crowned with your goodness. I operate in your goodness. I celebrate in your goodness. I conquer with your goodness. Your goodness is on my life, on my family, on my job, and on my family, on my church. Every day, your goodness surround me, follow me, meet me, comes in front of me, and your goodness never stops. I am an instrument of your goodness to others. I choose to praise you, to perform my vow, to pray, to prevail, to purge by you, and to present my body as a living sacrifice to your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, even as your children, by faith, has made this declaration that your goodness, your bounty, your good gift, your abundance, God, your benefit has come into the life of your children, God. This day, Father, as your servant, we cancel all the negative things that has spoken over your people in the past, oh God. We declare all the curses are broken. We declare, God, that you have put the crown of anointing over your children. And Lord, that your anointing, your goodness of God, give us authority, power, and privilege, God. For Lord, when you cross with your goodness, you cross with a new day, with a new beginning, with a new authority. And so, Lord, I ask you right now, in Jesus' name, that you break every yoke, every bondages. Lord, you break every accusation. You break every condemnation. You break every smallness of mind and heart of God. I ask right now in Jesus' name, let the goodness of God, the abundance of God, let it drip over your people. For you have made your people the head and not the tail. Lord, we declare that we live in your season. We live in your program. We live in your economy, oh God. And Lord, we declare you are above the world. We declare, God, that by your goodness, we shall be able to sing and praise you all the days long. And Lord, I ask for a fresh anointing over your people. Let it happen in their homes. Let it happen in their workplace, Lord. Let it happen in the circle of influence of God. For Lord, your goodness has come so that we can be able to experience your good and do good to others. Make us the instrument of your goodness. I ask all this in Jesus' name.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.